session number 25525, reel 4.
Richard Hughes, reel 4. Any other?
The other one, we came back from there. We went into Jib, I think, and refueled. And then we came home. We finished our run out there. I mean, she went back out there, but I wasn't aboard there. We came from we came home, we brought some prisoners of war from Gibraltar, picked them up and put them aboard, and we took them in. Then we dropped them off, I think, in Falmouth, I'm not sure. But anyway, our next protocol was we went up to Reykjavik in Iceland. That was when we came back from the Mediterranean. And then we had the kind visit of, what's his name? One of the famous film stars, Fairbanks Jr. He came aboard to walk around. He was an ensign officer in one of the US Navy. Because they were in the war then. He had a walk around the mess deck. He was quite nice. Yes. And that was early 42. And then the ship went back round to Portsmouth. Now, what am I talking about? To Liverpool. Not Portsmouth, we didn't go down the south coast at all. Went round to Liverpool. She was going into dock to do some repairs. And it was there that I parted company with Rodney. There was quite a lot of us who kind of changed all the crew. And I went down into the barracks after we got a spot of leave. And I went straight back to Devonport. And there we went up to what they called a rest camp. It's in Budo. It was all right, nicely. Doing spud picking for a while as well. I qualified A2 then in barracks. And there's a spot of leave here and there. And then at the end of that year, yeah, in about October, I think. Yes, I was in Drake Marsh. 42 to October 42. And then I was drafted to Prince Leopold. That was one of the Belgium cross channel packets.
And what did you do aboard that ship?
I was a seaman PO then. I was an AA2, and I was the senior gunnery right aboard there, so I was acting gunner's mate, shall we say. I had all, well, two single barrel pom-poms, one 12-pounder, and about six Oricans. So that was my duod.
And what was the Prince Leopold doing?
She was a troop carrier, what they call. An LSI, what do you call them? Landing craft, small, I mean, you know, and I picked her up. I had to go to Greenock to pick her up. She was in the middle of the person there. So I... picked her up there. I was only an active viewer. That meant I wasn't in a feet cap. I was still in Newark. And, I got to know the boys aboard. And in fact, there was none of them that I knew when I got there.
And where was... Where was she carrying troops to and from?
Well, what we used to do, I mean, I got in the middle of a trip there. And she was on her way back from to where she put some troops ashore up further north on the Scottish coast there, I forget what it was called. And they used to go across town and do commando training. And they used to go across to the other side, and then they used to make their own way back to wherever they came from. And then we would come south, up to Southampton, and they were the Second Rangers, American troops. And that's all we did carry.
So you were carrying troops around the coast of...
around the coast, also up the west coast, up to Scotland, and we would put them ashore, and they would do landing exercises with our boats. And of course, they would go straight down, because they used to have a commando school there. I don't know what it was, what the name it was, but it's still there. Or they've got a monument there now.
It must have been very different from being on a big ship.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it was.
In what ways was it different?
Well, you've seen everybody all the time, rather than you've sure you've only seen somebody now and again. But in a small ship, you had to be, well, a little more tolerable. Because sometimes it was him, but I mean, in a chiefs and POs mess, I was an acting PO at the time, I was a chief and POs mess.
So you were in the POs mess?
I was in the POs mess.
That must have been very different from being...
Well, it is from the mess deck, and that was my first experience really of being in the POs mess, except in barracks for a while when I was in the company school.
What were the privileges of being in the POs mess?
Oh, not a lot, except that you got neaters instead of grog. No, it's a...
Presuming you had someone to bring your food and...
Well, we used to have a messman, you see, and that was a pretty, the only food you had. He used to prepare it and take it down the galley and bring it up. And he did the washing up after.
Do you want to break again? Okay.
I'll get it down. Yeah.
So, how long were you moving troops around the coast?
When did I join her? Yeah. About fortnight before D-Day. I think that's when we came south. And then a week before D-Day, we put into Weymouth. And that's where we were. Well, say, so that must have been close to the end of, or the beginning of July, or June, rather.
1944.
That's right, yeah. So we were there laying in wait.
Did you know why you'd been sent there?
Well, we didn't know the fact now. I mean, the fact of it, we were waiting for favourable weather. The troops, we took the troops on 3 days before D-Day. They had to stay on until actually they sent go. And they were all American Rangers, the 2nd Rangers. We had trained them, so they came, and they were quite happy there. They were a good crowd. And then come the message to go. About 3:30 in the morning, we sailed with the Prince Charles, two of us in common. We both had American Rangers on. And we sailed out. Well, we didn't know what we were going into, because it was all dark and ship and water. And we reached across to our landing area about 6:30. We got the boys in the boats and we lowered them because they could get in without having to get down. They could get in at deck level, and they manned they got in their boats. And then of course we lowered them into the water. They unhooked the coxswain and off they went. Now of course we didn't see any of those boys again after that. In fact, we never heard from them.
What do you remember of the D-Day landings? What could you see and what could you hear?
No, here again it was dark in the first place for us. And we put our troops down outside the Mulberry Harbour. So there was not much we could see.
Were you aware of other ships in the area?
Oh yes, there was. I mean, the Prince Charles was there with us, even she was the senior ship. And then we were due to lay there for a while. But up came the signal, and apparently we were in a bit of trouble. And we went into Utah Beach. The Yanks, the other side of us, were in a bit of trouble on Omaha. And I think it must have been thought that we may have to take them off. So Prince Charles, somehow or other, said us, if you'll follow me. So this team and we went into Omaha Beach and just laid off about 2 or 3 miles. And we stayed there till pretty well into the afternoon. But
could you see anything then?
Well, you could see the pot shots at each other of the big stuff. I mean, you couldn't see what the troops were doing. But we did get the message that they took a hammer in. I mean, all this has come out following, but...
Well, I just wonder what you personally witnessed.
Well, no. I was in charge, I would say.
Were you at your action station? Were you...
We were at action station, so yes, we were there all night and... Well, all day, and we... Until we... made sure that our boats, and we got all our boats back. That was the 6 LCAs that we carried and took the boys ashore. And we got them all back. And we left the beachhead about 4 o'clock in the afternoon with the Prince Charles. And he went into Solent. And there we lay for a couple of days, just in case. afterwards. The next thing, well, in fact, we had a couple of days. I went up to the smoke with one of the POs. He had a pub running up there, so I went up with him for the weekend. So that wasn't too bad, but then we all got back after the weekend, and then we were chased up to New Haven. So we laid alongside there, and the skipper gave leave, so the boys went ashore. And of course, during the early evening, there was a hue and cry, wanted to pick up some troops from somewhere. I think they were Royal Engineers we had to pick up to take over to the beach. So, of course, a lot of the boys were ashore. We had to send a patrol out to get them back. In fact, I think I went myself there and had a pint or two on the way back here. But they were managed to get them all back. And they came back very good, the boys, once the message got round.
So you went back over to France?
And then we were going back. We picked up these Royal Engineers. I don't know whether it was the same beach that we went to or not, I don't know, but it was, I mean, seeing they were British, they were further west, so we took them at about 7 o'clock in the morning. There was a holy thump called a torpedo, so it hit us astern, ruined the Duart. So we had to get the troops off, so we put them aboard the destroyer and got them so they could go on their way. Fortunately, I think there was only one or two that got a scratch. They weren't badly hurt, but they did get hurt. And we were left to try and keep the old wagon afloat. I spent time down below with one of your young ERA, he was. Trying to keep the pump going. Most of us had, the skipper advised most of them, he hadn't abandoned ship by no means, but the boats had been lowered because we had the advantage of them. And then the tug took us in tow, trying to get us back to the Solent. I stayed up there. The next thing I knew was the skipper was passing the message around, abandoned ship. So I was lucky, there was one of the boats hanging about, so I went down one of the lifelines and crumbled into the boat. But the only boys we actually lost were the boys that were injured when the torpedoes hit. There's about three of them. And I think I've read that 11 of the soldiers were hurt, but not seriously. But they got ashore, and when they put them ashore, and went in the destroyer.
How many crew were there on the Prince Leopold?
We were about 250 crew. That's boat crews as well, which were separate really from the ship's crew, as they were belonged to combined ops. They had their own headquarters somewhere on the south coast there. But that was that. We got her in tow and the tank got us back into the main waters of the Solent there, and of course the oar had sunk. And this is about 6 miles south of the Nab, that's where he gave us. And we were all landed ashore, we were all went aboard the destroyer, picked us up, they took us ashore.
And
the destroyer's name. I've got him in bags of books around here.
So what happened to you after that? What happened to you after that?
Well, we all went into Pompey barracks and they issued us with temporary clothing. Having all the kit I had me suit on. No, I was in Old Road, I think. But anyway, they gave us a new kit out, which had to drag up to the station. We went up to London, got a train from London down to Plymouth, to Devonport, and in the barracks there. And after that, I think, yeah, 29th of July, and then I went into Drake then. And went into the gunnery school. Oh, we had 14 days survivors leave first before, you know, it was something very religious. And then when I went back, I was nominated for the gunnery school again to qualify A1. We lasted that out pretty well, wasn't too bad. And then from there, having qualified A1, I went up to a nice quiet number. Join them up, but HMS Queen Charlotte, that was an ACAC country school at Ainsdale, so I was assigned there, and that was on New Year's Eve, if you like. I had to travel up to there. Anyway, I made it all right.
You were an instructor?
I was an instructor. I was instructing in A1, because even you had pom-pom, Oricans, 147, I think they had there. For our concern was the close range weapons. So I lived that out till the end of the war, when the war in Europe was declared. And the last happy memories of that lot was leading the parade through Southport. The victory parade, as we say, but I've never been able to get any pictures of that. I'm sure there must be some somewhere. That's just him.
What happened to you after the war?
Well, I was, I say, I qualified A1. And after the wartime, when was it? Queen Charlotte. Yeah, I went in the gunnery school then, back into Drake, and I was instructor, an AA instructor down there, lookout instructor.
Did you go back to sea again?
Yes. Yes, I didn't do a lot of time ashore, because I was sea. But I went in there, I went qualified A1, they made me last year, and then from there, I went to join a brand new ship. The Childers, she was being built up at, in Dumbarton now. And then We joined her again, we took the crew, and we joined her and commissioned her. In fact, there was one or two advance parties already there. But we went up and joined. Made up a crew, and we provisioned her and ammunitioned her and everything. Yes, in the meantime, let's have a look at it. Yes, Queen Charlotte, I met the wife. We got married in the October. October 27th, I think it was. And then we left in 2 days after that, I left to join the ship.
How did you spend the rest of your career in the Navy?
Well, like, I say, I joined the Childers, and we went out to the Mediterranean, to what they call the infamous Palestine Patrol there. And we carried on.
What can you remember about that?
Not a lot, really, except that we did pick up one ship, or picked up two ships, in fact. I forget what they were called. But we escorted them into Haifa, and the military takes over then. Ships them on Jordan and send them across to, well, Famagusta at that time. And then we were involved in another one after that. She wouldn't do it. But on December the 6th, 1946. Yeah. On my birthday in 1946, I had a serious accident. Going from Malta to Trieste up the Adriatic Sea. So now RAD decided to play silly buggers. So he got us involved in oiling ship astern. I happened to be the duty PO in the afternoon. And of course, I had the duty seaman there. We got the line in, all right. Well, once you got it in and trying to take turns on the bollards, the weight of the two ships came together. And of course, the boys couldn't hold it, so I took the brunt of it. I had both my legs smashed up. I was treated pretty well after that. There was a certain lieutenant came across, I think it was the Phoebe, the cruiser, and he patched me up. And then the ship was put at my disposal to all haste for Trieste to go into the, there was a military general hospital there. They filled me up with some blood. I was running short. And they kept me there for a couple of days. And then the army had another hospital up in Mestre, up in northern Italy. So they put me in an ambulance and sent me up there. And that was the worst nightmare I've ever had in a bus ride. Well, it was an ambulance. Terrible. But anyway, we got there, and the staff there were very, very good. Of course, they were all military, me being a the naval man was quite a stranger, but they treated me well. Colonel Darcy there, he was really good. In fact, I asked him if I could stay there. But they patched me up as best they could for the trip home. I was put in hospital train, and we only moved during the night.